Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code VERBAL, V-E-R-B-A-L, at checkout and get 10% off. Squarespace. You should.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here, Dan Rubenstein over there in snowy New York City. SolidVerbal at gmail.com is still our email. You can find us at our website at solidverbal.com, on iTunes at itunes.com/solidverbal, and of course on Facebook, FanCred, Twitter, and Instagram. Sir, Mr. Rubenstein, it's been a long time. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I miss you terribly.
Yeah.
I miss your voice because we haven't spoken
over
the airwaves.
What about my musk?
I don't know. I mean, I liked it when it was in Arizona. Is this going down a weird road? Are we going to immediately regret this?
Everything we do kind of goes down that weird road, but sure.
Now life is all right. This is the dead time between, I think, all NFL declarations are in of underclassmen and signing day. Then we get into spring ball. We're going to have all sorts of fun things throughout the spring and summer ahead. So I implore you to not only make sure your subscriptions are updated, but tell your friends and family. But I'm doing well, Ty. I can't complain. Life is all right.
Well, that's a good thing. We're squarely in off-season mode now, as you mentioned. Not a whole lot of news, but some news nonetheless that we're going to get through. The whole point of the off-season, though, is that you can kind of download these shows whenever you want and listen to them.
Yes.
So we're not going to be too time sensitive. We're actually going to put in our interview in a little bit that we did with Reese Davis at the national championship. There were some references in that interview to the national championship game, the one in which Alabama won 45-40.
So we'll edit in updated information that we didn't have at the time. So it'll be like Reese Davis saying, you know, how can you argue with Clemson and what they've been able to do? But still, Alabama was probably the better team.
Right.
Yeah, we'll do that.
A little post-production trick here.
Very natural.
That's what we do on the show. But we're going to talk to Reese Davis here in a little bit.
Are you pronouncing it Reese?
Reese.
Reese. Okay. I thought you were going Reese, and I liked that, you know, regional affect. I was ready to join you with that. Like Bison, Reese Davis.
There's only one Reese, and he used to quarterback Notre Dame. I'll have you know.
Yes.
Anyway, we're going to talk to Reese Davis from ESPN College Game Day. You know him well. We'll play that interview in just a little bit. In the interim, though, breaking news! Just to prove that we're still alive and there are some things happening that we haven't recorded this 2 years prior, what is going on with Jim Harbaugh sleeping at people's houses, Dan?
It's a little bit strange.
It is, right?
Connor Murphy, he's a top recruit. I don't know a ton about him, but he's the younger brother of Trent Murphy, former Stanford star.
Yep.
Jim Harbaugh slept over and didn't even need accommodations. Just give him a 6'3" slab on the ground and some milk and some, I don't know, board games, Netflix, and he's good to go.
So here's my take on this.
Please.
There are going to be Michigan people out there, and I've already read the tweets and some of the message board postings. People out there in Michigan land are going to admire Harbaugh's tenacity on the recruiting trail. They're going to think this is the greatest thing ever. And I don't necessarily have a viewpoint to refute that. Clearly, you got to admire the hustle to some degree. Mm-hmm. However, if you're in your right mind, you at least got to admit it's a little weird. It's a little weird to go sleep at someone's house like that, isn't it?
Do crazy people know they're crazy? I don't think they do.
Usually
I think
not.
That's what makes them crazy. I'm totally fine with this. I like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah?
I like Jim Harbaugh. I like the tenacity. And there are definitely some older, stodgier types that are looking at the win at all costs. You know, this used to be the Honorable Conference Big Ten Beef Bowl. that doesn't resonate with me. I like coaches that go for it. I like programs that spend money. Yeah, I like the efforts. I like doing everything it takes because there's not a ton of talent in the state of Michigan. It's fine. It's not as barren as some of the states to the west, but I like this. Michigan is trying to keep up with SEC schools, trying to keep up with Ohio State, the recent success of a team right within their own state in Michigan State, who has been nearly as good as any other team in the country nationally. So I admire them using the resources and look at the attention it's getting. That it's free publicity. Jim Harbaugh is now getting every other, you know, article headline in the country when it comes to head coaches. And you have, you know, Nick Saban dabbing, which, my God, is it sad to watch. Jim Harbaugh's not dabbing, which is already puts him above so many people. I'm totally good with this. It's entertaining from afar. Michigan football will continue to be fun and improve. And it will make the big, it will bring up all things Big Ten. Even if there is a big upper class in the Big Ten right now with Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and this past season, Iowa, I think it brings, I think the competition brings everything up. The rising tide lifts all boats. I'm good with it. Whether Penn State moves forward with James Franklin or somebody else in the near future, I think it goes with it. And as long as, and this is the end of my point. As long as the win at all costs also benefits the players as things improve financially for coaches and programs, I think we're both good with it.
I'm okay with it. It's a little weird. I do admire the tenacity.
But if you were 17?
I don't know how I'd feel about it. It'd be a little
dude
weird.
Dude was in the Super Bowl. Now you guys are playing like Super Mario.
I like the East Coast pronunciation.
Thank you. I tried my best there. Thank you.
I just think it's a little weird. What I do like about it, though, strictly from the standpoint of a podcast host, is the fact that now that Harbaugh is raising the stakes a little bit here on the recruiting trail, you may see other awkward scenarios whereby other coaches in the Big Ten and beyond feel it necessary to take this extra step and go sleep at a recruit's house.
Brett Bielema takes a recruit to a water park. Great.
Lane Kiffin sleeping in your house could be interesting.
Could be interesting. Yeah. And might just call himself Joey and not Lane. Whatever. Whatever works best.
There's a lot of possibility here, but Jim Harbaugh is winning recruits. He's doing good things at Michigan already in terms of building the program up. I did see there was this other sort of black eye, if you want to call it that, about the scholarship being pulled for the offensive lineman before. What was that again?
There's an offensive lineman from Illinois, I want to say suburban Chicago, who was the first player in this current class, so I guess it would be the class of 2016, to accept a scholarship. It was offered by Brady Hoke and that Michigan staff. Jim Harbaugh and his staff allegedly chose to honor the commitment, and then last week they decided to pull the scholarship, which on its face is a bad look. It's never good with a week and a half, 2 weeks until signing day to make a kid start to look around. You know, it doesn't have time to take, you know, you can sign after signing day, but does not appear on the level that colleges will hold a place for him. You want to give somebody time to take all of their official visits. And on its face, it looks bad. But also Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan coaching staff and the University of Michigan can't even comment on the situation because you can't until he signs a letter of intent somewhere. You can't comment on recruits specifically by name. And it may very well be the case that there was a falling out or that, you know, there's a report that he didn't go to Michigan's camp, so he couldn't be seen by the Michigan coaches last summer. There was another report that they told him in November to look around. So I think it's probably wise to side with a recruit in a system that goes against the recruits, just recruiting in the letter of intent system in general. It's wise to take their side as a rule. But it's also probably wise to wait and hear out all parties, especially when one of them is the grown-up in the situation. So the sort of outrage over the situation is a little befuddling at the moment.
I'm curious to hear more, say the least. I'm curious to hear more. On the surface, it doesn't look good. But
also, it's not an offer that they extended as a coach.
It's not an offer that they extended. And trust me, if you look around college football, there's plenty else going on that would make your eyes roll, make your head spin a little bit. I don't know if this is the worst thing I've ever heard of. Certainly it isn't, but yeah.
You hope that it's not a grown-up dicking over a recruit. That's all.
Speaking of Michigan, Brady Hoke, remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. I am once again aware of him.
Your boy Brady Hoke taking over for Don Pelham.
Yes.
He is the new defensive coordinator for Oregon. Now, look, people like to make fun of Brady Hoke, and our friend Ryan Nanny does a great Brady Hoke impression.
Yeah.
But he ran a pretty tight ship on defense. Defense was not the problem for Brady Hoke.
Correct.
So I think this is a pretty good hire. I like it.
Yeah, some Michigan people are going to be quick to point out that Michigan struggled against some of the spread teams. Pretty much everybody struggled against spread teams. Brady Hoke was a very good identifier of both defensive line and defensive back talent. The Michigan defense that was good for almost the, or like great for almost the entire year this past season under DJ Durkin and Greg Madison was built by Brady Hoke and his version of Michigan's defensive staff. No experience as a strict defensive coordinator, but by all accounts has had hands in successful defenses at Michigan, Ball State, San Diego State. And, you know, if you watched him on the sideline at Michigan, was in communication a lot with Greg Madison, his defensive coordinator. So very involved in the defense. And while he has not been a defensive coordinator, has not coached on the West Coast in a while, he's known to be a good recruiter. Will not be in charge of hiring an offensive coordinator like he was at Michigan, will not be in charge of big decisions about player safety, which you hope that any coach after a mistake has learned from, as he did screw up the Shane Morris situation, not wearing a headset, that whole thing at Michigan. This is a roundabout way of saying I have pretty much talked myself into Brady Hoke, mostly because of the recruiting and not Don Pelham angle.
We're gonna isolate that audio and play it back for you multiple times in the 2016 season.
Again, he is not Don Pelham.
Right.
He is not installing an express version of the defense, which is a horrifying, horrifying phrase that was uttered during the season. So, hoping for the best. Is coached on the West Coast, you know.
I like it. It's fine. It's not Don Pelham. I think that's the key takeaway. The other big news on the defensive side, and we didn't talk about this, even though it was going on around the time that we recorded our last show, but Bob Shoop now fleeing Penn State, going to Tennessee. Tennessee is going to be loaded again this year. They're going to have a lot of talent. It also now leaves a bit of a gaping hole defensively for Penn State, because Bob Shoop was one of the preeminent coordinators in the country. That chair is now turned over to Brent Pry, courtesy of James Franklin. James Franklin came out, made comments, addressed some of his critics. I mean, I think he's saying all the right things, but if you really dig down in, this is not a good move. Not a good sign if you're a Penn Stater, if you're a Penn State fan, because Shoop was one of the guys who I felt was holding the whole thing together.
Yeah, really, I mean, across the board on defense, that was what kept the Penn State ship floating. The defensive linemen developed really, really well in that defense, sort of highlighted by Carl Nassib's 2015 and how productive he was. And Bob Shoop, there are some cases, like Tony Franklin just left Cal for Middle Tennessee. And that seemed on the surface a little bit weird, but he's from the South and, you know, perhaps closer to where he wants to coach. And it's in Nashville. It's a nice city. But Bob Shoop's from the East, like he's from somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's relatively local. He's coached in the Northeast a ton. Obviously he was with James Franklin at Vandy, but, I think just jumping to a more stable situation is not, you know, whether it's Will Muschamp leaving Auburn after a year, it's not unheard of in the college coaching ranks. So Bob Shoop, it looks like a very stable, well, I shouldn't say very stable, but a more encouraging situation, especially on the other side of the ball, which you have to look at if you're a defensive coordinator. What can the offense do to help you out than what was happening at Penn State?
We'll see what happens at Penn State in the coming season. You would have to expect now, with it entering year, what, 3-4 of James Franklin, that it's going to be put up or shut up time. He's saying a lot of stuff. He's saying a lot of stuff to get people excited.
Is jumping ship the right term? At this point, Herb Hand moves on to Auburn.
It's concerning that so many of the coaches who cite James Franklin's loyalty as one of his key attributes,
right?
Those are the guys who are leaving.
This will be, this coming season will be, I believe, his
year
third
year three.
Yeah, which is a bad year for people to be sort of reorganizing a staff.
It's concerning to me that loyalty was one of James Franklin's key attributes, and some of the guys he was most loyal to are now bolting. That means something to me. I don't know what that means in terms of wins or losses or team morale or whatever else, but I don't think that's a good sign. There are a lot of teams in their side of the Big Ten this coming season that are going to be gearing up. And if they're not gearing up, they're at least holding neutral. So I'm a little worried.
State college is also, and you can speak to this a lot more than I can, it's different and it's sort of an island. There's not much around it. If you're used to, you know, if you grew up in a bigger city, if it's an adjustment. I mean, I went there and I was there for only a day. And I think you have to be a very specific kind of, you're in small town Pennsylvania, which sort of is treading Midwest and East Coast. It's a little of each.
It's a little bit of Philly. It's a little bit of Pittsburgh. And it's a little bit of New York, like based on the people. Based on the people coming there. It's often said that if an enterprising student up at Penn State wanted to run for mayor, he or she could win. Because the town and the way it swells population-wise during school, totally a town run by the students for the students. Unlike a lot of other places. That in and of itself makes it cool and unique and great. But given the location, it's sort of in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know if it's so much a culture thing as it is some of the old fans and boosters who are still holding on dearly to the whole Joe Paterno era.
Right.
That's the bigger issue.
You also, and it's not just a coach being used to state college and that culture and stuff. You have to bring families there. And we, you know, our pal Herb Hand didn't bring his. They stayed in Nashville. It's there's so much more from a human side of things. And it's not just state college. It's everywhere that I think people forget about sometimes.
It's a nice place to live. It really is.
Yeah. It's just different.
It depends where you're from.
Yeah.
Depends where you're from. If you're moving from a big city to state college, you might be in for a bit of a culture shock.
True.
But it's
I was when I went to Eugene. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good place to live, but maybe not for everybody. Well, anyway, that's all to say things are changing at Penn State. James Franklin's got his work cut out for him in 2016. We'll see what he's got in store.
Yeah. Also, before we get into Reese Davis, quickly, Todd Monken out of nowhere.
I can't say his name. I hate saying Todd Monk. How do you? Monken.
Like Munkin. Monken.
So this was a different move from Southern Miss to the offensive coordinator of the Bucks, right?
Yeah, of the Bucks. We saw last year, the year before, it was Dan Enos from Central Michigan, the head coach, become the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. So on smaller levels, we've seen it. I think John Embry's actually, the former Colorado coach, is on the Buck staff for the NFL. But moves on from Southern Miss, does an unbelievable turnaround job going from an 0-12 program to this year. I think they went 9-3 during the regular season, 9-4, something like that. And just, what, a week before signing day? 9 days before signing day? 10 days? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Takes off for the NFL. Not ideal timing. This probably, I don't begrudge people for trying to better their situation as they see it, but this close to signing day, that's rough for the Eagles. So, he moves on. And as I mentioned before, Tony Franklin from Cal to Middle Tennessee, from the South, a lot of his experience in the South, but certainly not a parallel move job-wise. So, a couple late moves in the coaching carousel sphere.
All right. The only other news tidbit, and then we're going to play Reese Davis.
Nice.
Is it about 107 NFL declarations?
It's about that. Yeah. There are many, many young college football players leaving for the NFL, which is mostly fine by me.
I'm okay with it. I mean, look, you see injuries in the NFL. You see injuries in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it can affect someone's draft standing. Jalen Smith, we saw what happened to him. He's obviously still going to come out early. You have to assume that his injury played some factor in Will Fuller and CJ Procise and maybe some others who decided to come out as well. I don't fault any of these kids for seeing the money on the table and taking it, even if they're going to be like a third or fourth round pick. Get out while the getting's good before you get hurt and see what you can do at the next level.
There is one type of player that I wish would come back or transfer if they're looking to do so. And that's the type of player sort of like Cardale Jones, where I think he could benefit and improve his own draft stock. He's not going to start most likely next season. JT Barrett seems to have that entrenched, but to go somewhere, perhaps it could be at the FBS level. I don't know what his graduation status is or was, but to go somewhere and to get a full season of reps, I think is worthwhile, especially when everybody believes in his raw talent, but hasn't necessarily seen him on a week-to-week basis all season long. And I thought it was smart for a player like O.J. Howard, who came on so strongly in the national championship game, but now has a chance to perhaps be more featured in Alabama's offense, that he is coming back. So, no, I don't blame any of these guys. It's good for the coaches to point to the fact that they develop NFL-level talent in 3 years and that young players can have a chance to get into the rotation right away. I think it's a net win for everybody.
You mentioned Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones, the leading nominee in our worst year back category.
Mm. Fair and unfair at the same time.
Yeah. That's a strong buy, though, on this end. Cardale Jones. We've got a couple good ones here. I'm looking at it. By the way, the Verbi
voting. Oh, it's a great list.
Verbi voting is going to be coming out very shortly, so stay tuned to the newsletter of intent. If you've subscribed to that or to our website or to our site over on SB Nation, we'll be tweeting a lot of that out. But Cardale Jones, Justin Thomas, Christian Hackenberg, Everett Golson. Those are the four biggies in that category.
By strong, I mean weak.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. What do we have before we get into Reese, which we're going to do momentarily? What do we have coming up on the show? Just in the next few shows. We've got signing day.
We've got signing day next week. We're still working on putting that show together.
Yep. We got Tom Rinaldi.
We've got our Tom Rinaldi interview. We've got our Kirk Ferentz interview.
Yep.
And then we got a bunch of stuff planned this offseason.
We do. We've got, last year we had a really good time, I would say, and people seem to respond well to our scheme theme month.
Yep.
So stuff like theme episodes, theme months, theme weeks, theme years. We're going to do an Australian accent the rest of the season, 2016 year. We got it going. So that is, I'm very excited to put together some fun new stuff. Also, we have Reese Davis on the show. Do you like Game Day, Ty?
I do.
Yeah, Game Day is a good show. Any thoughts about Reese's first year?
I thought he did a great job. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. I didn't expect anything less. He did a great job guiding the show. He already does College Game Day on the basketball side. And that was one of the things we asked him about. How does basketball differ from football? Because they're also on location now from whatever court, small town USA, on a Saturday talking about college basketball. So how do the two compare to one another? We also tried to get a little bit more human with them, because a lot of times... And as you said, maybe in our live show, maybe off air, but these guys are so good at what they do that if you give them 5 minutes and a microphone, they'll come up with something to say.
Yeah.
It's not always canned, but a lot of times it is. They'll come up with something to say. We tried to get him a little bit off that unwritten script, if you will.
Right.
Talk to him about things like nicknames and Netflix. And
we cannot also stress enough that Reese Davis and Chris Fowler are two different people.
Yes.
Yes. They look alike and have very similar occupations. They are, in fact, two different people.
Our Reese Davis interview, Dan, is brought to you in part by our good friends over at Squarespace.
I actually have something to say about this. Continue.
Well, when was the last time you made a website?
It's been such a long time. And just yesterday, I used a service that lets you register names. I'm not giving them free advertising, but you've recommended them to me.
Yeah.
I am once again the proud owner of danrubenstein.com. And I think I'm going to go with Squarespace.
Are you going to use it to build your danrubenstein.com? What's going to be on danrubenstein.com?
Over the years, I've listed all of the peculiar yet very effective sex moves that you've recommended to me.
Good, good.
I'm probably just going to put like my reel and some pertinent information, some glamour shots, tasteful nudes.
Okay.
That work. I'm gonna use Squarespace. I was looking over their templates and sort of how editable they are, and it's a great product.
The sites are awesome. They look professionally designed. Doesn't matter if you know how to code or not. It doesn't matter what your skill level is when it comes to HTML. The sites are going to look professionally designed. It's intuitive. It's easy to use. We've used it before. I like it. You can also get a free domain if you sign up for a year, Dan. So maybe you missed the boat a little bit.
Damn.
Going off on your own and buying danrubes.com.
I got a good deal. I got it for about $100,000, danrubenstein.com. I feel like it's going to pay off.
You can start a free trial today at squarespace.com. When you sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code VERBAL, and you will get 10% off your first purchase. Again, if you don't know how to code, if you don't want to know how to code, if you just want to build a site that looks good all the time on whatever device, Squarespace is where you go. Again, our offer code is VERBAL. You'll get 10% off your first order.
What?
2016, they're saying the tagline for 2016 is "You should." So, Dan, Squarespace, you should.
I'm considering it strongly.
On that note, You know him well. He's from ESPN. He's the host of College Game Day. His name is Reese Davis. Have a listen. All right, Dan, we're joined by a gentleman who was on our program about three years and a few months ago. Reese Davis, new host, I guess not so new host now of College Game Day, but how are you?
I'm doing much better than you guys are in the state of Iowa.
Yep, that's also true.
But, you know, they got upset with me at times, too, so that's that's the way it goes.
We are in a room, it should be said, with Kirk Ferentz right now.
Kirk Ferentz is like 20 yards away.
We could full-on hash it out.
He's been giving you guys a stink eye across the room.
It's rough.
Here, I think.
It's rough.
He's stopping by in like a half hour, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. We'll see. We're all friends here. We're all college football pals.
He's a great guy, too, Kirk.
He's a terrific guy.
And a great coach.
First of all, get this out of the way. You're here on behalf of the Capital One Cup.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, and how do you feel about it in this moment ahead of the national championship game?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really cool thing because it is a competition. It honors the very best in college sports, the best overall men's and women's athletics program. And, you know, you can follow along CapitalOneCup.com because you guys know from the way you interact with fans, fans love bragging rights.
Sure.
But the coolest thing about it to me is the money that they give to student-athlete scholarships, because we talk all the time about how sports are supposed to create opportunities for young men and women. And $400,000 in student-athlete scholarship money from the Capital One Cup for the winners go to those types of programs. And since I've been involved, since the advent of the Capital One Cup, they've contributed $2 million
wow.
in scholarship money. So it provides great opportunity for young men and women on and off the field. And I think they've done it in a way that's fun so that fans can follow along and find a way to brag about their overall sports programs. And 60 points toward the Capital One Cup up for grabs between Clemson and Alabama Monday night.
So how hard are you pulling for Alabama? You're an Alabama guy.
I'm an ESPN
guy.
Seriously, how hard are you pulling for Alabama?
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah? Okay.
I mean, look, I know it sounds like a political answer, and a lot of people have a hard time understanding it. I grew up in the state of Alabama and grew up loving the Crimson Tide. From the time, first season I remember, I was 5 years old. First game I ever remember, I was 7, and it was, they beat Virginia Tech 77 to nothing, I think. Or 77-6. Anyway, they scored a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I do have a deep passion for the sport. But you guys know, when you go into this business,
mm-hmm.
things change a little bit.
Yep.
And our people who watch at home, they don't care where I went to school, nor should they. And I owe it to them to be fair. That's one component. An additional component is that when you've been around, and I'm getting older all the time, fortunately, I guess mm-hmm. it's better than the alternative, but you get to know people on virtually every program. You know, I've known Dabo for years.
Mm-hmm.
Lemanski Hall, who you guys might not know, he played in the NFL for a while, but Lemanski was a high school player at Valley, Alabama, when I was working in local, and I covered Lemanski in high school. He works at Clemson now. You know, I worked in Flint, Michigan. I know Mark D'Antonio, and Tom Izzo. You develop these relationships, and it helps you appreciate the aspects other than just when you were 8 and you loved this color jersey and you hated all the guys in that color jersey.
I'm a little different. Disappointed that Reese is a grown-up and has evolved into a grown-up. I am a little bit disappointed that he has matured and evolved into an adult.
This is an outrage.
No, I do think that if people tell you, anybody tells you that they don't care,
right.
then they probably shouldn't be doing this for a living. Absolutely. But what you have to have, at least in my judgment, is you have to have the ability to step back.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's nobody on the planet more fair than my basketball partner Jay Billis.
Right.
He has a great ability to step back, but he had serious investment in the Duke program, and it's okay for him in his private moments to enjoy that, but it while not allowing it to impact his job. And I think that's what, I don't know if you guys are called to do that, but I feel like that's my role. Oh, yeah. I mean, is that what you guys think you do, or do you guys like to get on and just like
give it to each other? We are unabashed fans. Oh, yeah. I play the Glenn Miller Orchestra when talking about Notre Dame because I feel the fan base of Notre Dame appreciates that as a more traditional elderly group.
And I've been wrongfully calling Oregon's offense a finesse offense for a good 5 years now, even though it's anything but. So
yeah,
I think people expect a little bit of that from the two of us, but by and large, when it comes to previewing, reviewing, things like that, we try to be as fair and balanced as we can.
We are most loyal to facts.
Yeah. People are going to hear what they want, and I don't mean that to sound dismissive of fans, but they are. I mean, the biggest kick I've told, I need to tell Fowler this story because I haven't told him yet. I was on a plane after the Orange Bowl flying to the Rose Bowl for our show the next morning, and we were watching the Cotton Bowl. And I mean, look, I'm sitting there with a beverage and no shoes on. You know, okay, I'm watching the game.
Obviously.
But my Twitter feed starts blowing up after the one deep ball that Coker hit to Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm. Fowler rightfully brought a lot of enthusiasm to the call because it was a big
moment. Huge play.
Huge play. My Twitter feed starts blowing up. You, Homer, I knew you hated Michigan State. I knew you loved Alabama.
The truth comes out, Reese, sooner or later.
I'm sitting here with no shoes on. You know, having a snack and a beverage. So, you know, you can't, I guess what I'm saying is you can't overreact or get too sensitive about what people accuse you of when you know that you're doing it to the very best.
The curse of you looking like somebody who had a very similar job to yours.
Well,
pretty that short time ago.
First of all, I'm going to let that slide, but that's the best compliment Fowler's ever gotten. If people think that he's, you know, that he's close to as good looking as I am. But
friend of the show, I like it. I like that rivalry. Capital One Cup rivalry.
We had
Fowler-Reese Davis.
We had Bruce Feldman and Stu Mandel on last year.
They look alike.
Here. We had. I won't even tell the rest of the story. We started a little rivalry between them. So,
oh yeah, it's great.
It's what we do here at the National Championship.
Was there a moment this season, your first season hosting the football version of Game Day, where it got to be the closest that it went off the rails? Was there like a holy S moment? Because obviously, live TV on campus, you know, things are shuffling. You have a producer in your ear. Was there a moment where you're like, I am very curious to see how we get out of this?
No,
it didn't reach that point at all.
I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and it doesn't mean that things can't happen. And we had a camera guy fall down when we were walking.
I would say that qualifies.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I have confidence in. I mean, we've got the best director in television, Tom Lucas. I think he did go to the right shot. You know, you take care of it, make sure Randy's okay, and then you move on with the show. It's okay. You know,
okay?
He was fine.
Okay, yeah. So I say go to that shot. Good.
His pride was hurt a little bit.
He's
excellent at what he does. It's tough. He's walking. You know, I don't know how much that thing weighs, 75 pounds or something. He's walking up steps backwards with it. He tripped. It happens.
It happens.
So it was,
see, that would have been go to that shot. You would have been all over Vine. That's the move.
Well, we got a little bit of it.
Okay.
Some of the shot on. You know, I think not off the rails in the way you're talking about.
Right.
I think the most difficult moment of the show, and I know we're having fun here, but the most difficult moment of the show all year was when Jim Ojahowski did the piece about Lloyd Carr's grandson.
Yes.
I mean,
an unbelievably powerful piece. Yeah,
every one of us on that show, all of us are dads, all of us. And to see what Jason and his family were going through and for them to be brave enough to share that with us at that time, as soon as they did after Chad passed away, it was tough for all of us. And we had a difficult time, you know, we had to regain our composure during the break. But that's the brilliance of our producer, Lee Fitting, who anticipated that. So he didn't put us in position to have to come out and talk about Bedlam, you know, after that. And we had a few moments. But the human side of the show, I mean, I don't think it came close to coming off the rails. But those are the times you can see when
you're thrown a little bit. Yeah.
Everybody on the crew's invested.
Yeah.
And that's those are the special moments and the ones that are very meaningful, I think.
How do you compare your role as host on a football show to that of a basketball show?
I always say the things that I hate to hear as a host, I hate to hear them say, tee up the analyst or traffic cop.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of it, but if that's all you're doing, well, anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. You have to be part of the conversation. The conversations that typically come on those two shows are significantly different to me because in football, everything points to that one day of the week. I know there are games other days, but primarily on that one day of the week, there aren't many of them, and they carry tremendous significance in terms of who will play for a championship. Basketball is different because I think it's a little broader, and while we certainly do a lot of big picture stuff on game day football, it's really hard to take a conversation, with the exception of very few games in basketball, where you say, okay, here is the game
big
on this
stakes.
January 25th that's going to determine. It's not. You know, it's not. They're probably, A, going to play at least once more, maybe two more times, and there are a lot of other games. So it lends itself to being a different type of discussion most of the time. So I think that your roles are similar in terms that you need to be informed and participate in the discussions rather than just tee them up. But they are very different types of discussions most of the time, I think.
And with that, we celebrate Reese Davis, the human being, and not just the person teeing up analysts.
That's right. That's right.
I want to do a quick deep dive, and I want to learn about Reese the human.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. First, your first choice, travel entertainment / Netflix binging. You're spending a lot of time on the road. What is entertaining you beyond studying for the game?
Okay. I don't have to see it on Netflix because I'm keeping up. I love Blacklist.
Interesting. Okay.
James Spader, awesome character. In fact, the name of my Capital One Bull Mania team this year was Red Reddington.
Okay.
How about that?
I don't watch the show.
See,
but
I
like the passion. I like
you
the passion.
Should. I like that. I also like, my son and I just over Christmas, we just finished Prison Break, too.
Okay, awesome. Sure.
The original?
The original.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Schofield, the tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out, captured, brought down the company, died, whole thing.
Yeah, spoiler. I was a big Prison Break guy back in the day. Yeah.
You have a very direct, easy to relate to name. What is a nickname you've always wanted?
Oh, man. What would be the nickname that I always wanted? I need to have a quick-witted answer for you. I discovered it in myself
because I saw it on a restaurant sign. I would love to be on the basketball court known as Chop House.
Chop House?
Chop House Rubenstein. It flows.
I've got one for you again.
Okay.
Something else that I watch regularly.
Hit me.
My family, we're fans of the Goldbergs. Do you know this show?
Of course, yeah. Jeff Garlin, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Garlin, and then Barry, whatever his real name is, he's Big Tasty. Big Tasty would be a good...
Big Tasty Davis?
That's a good nickname, right?
That's amazing. That's
we're going to put that on our website.
Anytime we talk about you on game day, we're talking about
Big Tasty.
Kirk,
it's going to show up.
Big Tasty.
I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable with that all of a sudden. Wish I hadn't brought that up.
It got very real.
Speaking of basketball, what is your move on the basketball court?
Three-point jumper. Just, top
you're a chucker from the outside?
No doubt.
Yeah.
It's what I did in high school before there was a three-point line. Let it fly from the outside. Every arena that we go to, if I haven't been before, mm-hmm. I make sure that I make a free throw and I make a three. Everywhere we go.
What is the dirtiest / cheapest thing you've done on a basketball court? I have an answer for myself. I flop. I own that, and I flop. I check my head for blood as if I have been wounded that badly. Yeah.
I don't play much anymore. I just shoot now.
Sure.
But back in the day, I would say that I was known to occasionally go to a delicate area on a screen and make sure it's set properly.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
John Stockton made a career of it. So
doggy
why,
dog.
If he could do it, why couldn't I?
Gonzaga's finest. What is your go-to dance move on a wedding dance floor?
You know that that Will Smith movie where he tells
he's all upper body.
Keep it right here. Keep it upper body.
All upper body.
That's probably the smartest thing. Although
fair.
I have been known on occasion to get down full squat low position. You know, like when you're doing shout or something like that. Yeah.
So I appreciate the dexterity there.
Yeah.
It's Valentine's Day in a month. Ty, hopeless romantic right here. What meal would you recommend he cook for his lovely bride?
Pasta. Best pasta and your nicest red sauce. That's what I would
make the red sauce yourself.
That's a wheelhouse.
You know why I'm telling you that? That is when my wife said that I completely won her over when we were dating. Now I'm a terrible cook. Mm-hmm. And so I should tell you that my best red sauce, I very strongly open the bottle of ragu.
I was going to say ragu with prego.
Yeah, ragu. Add a little extra garlic salt to it, and we were good.
Okay. That's a smart man.
I think it's the last time I cooked, too, except for grilling.
What game show would you be the best contestant on?
Ooh, that's a good one. How about...
Would the Davis family succeed?
Match game? No, okay. No, Family Feud.
I was going to say Family Feud.
Family Feud.
Okay.
We'd kill it.
You would?
Yeah, yeah.
So would you say that you would help your family study ahead of time to really sort of get an understanding of common answers for common questions? Are you putting in that work?
Whenever I go on the air, I say that I want to have poise, presence, personality, and preparation.
Preparation.
So we would prepare.
Okay.
Sure.
We've heard about your notebook, by the way.
Yeah, it's more. It's evolved more into a file now. I keep a file in my computer. You know, thanks to the cloud, it's on all the devices.
Right.
But yeah. But I actually used the notebook for some stuff this morning at Media Day. So yeah, it's a new one. But most of my notes now are in electronic digital form. I have evolved past the notebook.
What is the song that you sing the loudest in the car?
I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to.
It's the digital underground Humpty Dance.
Right now, the one that I'm obsessed with, that I play it, or two that I play on repeat. One is X's and O's by L. King.
It's a good song.
Love
sure.
that song.
Rob Schneider's song. Daughter.
And
that,
really?
That is 100% true. Did you
really?
Know that?
I had no idea.
Like, the X's and O's.
O's they hump me.
That is Rob Schneider's, and she's like 19.
Brilliant song.
It's a great song.
She's got
really
a great voice. I heard an acoustic version of it recently. Okay. It's fantastic. And I like Imagine Dragons, Black Keys, and I like that Arctic Monkeys song.
Of course.
That's a good song.
Do you want to know?
I forget what the official title is, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I can't remember the official title, but I play, as the song says, and I play it on repeat a lot.
Yes. Final question. Bathroom situation on game day. What is it? Are there close calls?
Not close calls, but there are close quarters. There are close places that you can take a sprint down. If you get a 3.5-minute break, you can make it to the porta potty. Or if Bobby, the bus driver, has the bus positioned closely enough, that's the better alternative.
That's crucial.
Sometimes logistics dictate that you can't do that.
I like ending interviews on bathroom questions. I like that. Check out all the Capital One Cup fun online. Thank you very much, Reese Davis, for stopping by. Follow him on Twitter.
Yes, follow him on Twitter.
And once again, tell your kids about an undefeated Iowa. You might need
That's
to.
Right.
Once again, a nice team coming back next year.
Yeah, you guys are a lot of fun. I like the irreverence. It's good for the sport.
Right there. Big tasty Reese Davis.
Big tasty
here on the show.
Big tasty. It's real.
Every interview you have, you make a mistake. Clearly, I just made one there.
Nice.
All right.
All right, sir. That, again, is Reese Davis. You know him from ESPN. He's the host of College Game Day on both the football and basketball side. I got to say, I don't know how well it comes across in the radio interview, but Reese was really excited to do the interview with us. He was a cool cat. He was very generous with his time. There were other people waiting to talk to him, but he had the patience to deal with our nonsense, and it was good to have him. We had him on once before a couple years ago. It was great to have him back in person, and a really nice guy.
I have to correct you on something, though. When you refer to him as Reese Davis, I believe the proper nomenclature is Big Tasty.
Big Tasty, excuse me.
Tasty. Have you noticed, I believe it was Reese, I haven't listened to the interview since we actually did the interview, that there's something like once you hit 40, 45, you just love the blacklist. People... Once they, it's just like right in that like middle dad zone, you're just like, I need more blacklist.
I don't know if it's so much a blacklist thing though.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is blacklist.
Well, all right. I'm thinking back to some of my friends now.
Right.
And their dads who like the blacklist. So you might be onto something there. I was going to go more along the lines of maybe not so much the blacklist as just a templated show like House.
Right.
Like every episode of House was exactly the same. You knew what you were going to get. I feel like dads at that point in their life, they're not so much looking to experiment with different shows. They just want to know what they're getting. They want to know what they're getting when they turn on the tube. And the blacklist very much fits that bill.
If I came across somebody, we were talking about random TV, you're talking about Netflix shows, talking about, you know, shows on FX, whatever like the sort of cooler networks are. And I have air quotes on this, definitely not visual medium. If they bring up the blacklist, I immediately think they're lying about their age and are very clearly 45 or over. There is something about that show. I haven't seen it. I know people that are close to our age who have and just sort of shrug. There's something about it.
It's a good show. I like the show.
You watched it?
I've watched it. Okay. I got about a season deep.
Okay.
But they're all kind of the same. All the episodes are kind of the same. So I trailed off.
Self-contained?
I trailed off after a season.
Okay, so each episode is like its own like Law and Order type case, or is it like a story over the course of the season?
You can there's a vague story, a vague arc over the course of a season, okay. But you can pick up. It's like House. You can pick up midstream and totally get it. The only exception to this rule, and I've said it a million times, is Bones.
What do you mean? What is the rule?
Well, if you're talking about self-contained shows that middle-aged people are going to be into, basically every show on CBS.
Do you love Bones?
No, I'm saying Bones fits the billing, but I don't know one person that watches Bones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, neither do I.
They're in season 117. I have no idea who watches Bones.
Yeah, I have no concept. I believe aunts and uncles.
I don't have any that watch Bones.
Neither. I don't think I do, but I think my uncle loves The Blacklist, Ty. Right. I think my uncle loves The Blacklist.
Well, this has been a revealing discussion.
Yeah, I don't... There's also... Like, I don't know anybody that watches any of the NCIS's. Do you?
I do.
What is on Mama H's DVR or list of shows to watch?
Mama H is a big fan of The Voice.
Okay.
She likes Homeland. She's holding on to Homeland.
Mm-hmm.
She likes some of those funny type shows on ABC.
Like The Modern Family.
Yeah. A lot of Hallmark Channel. Okay. Gotta say, a lot of Hallmark Channel.
What do they air on that? Just a lot of feel good.
Yep. Strangely addicting, though. Gotta be honest with you.
Really?
Strangely addicting content, yeah.
Like a less sexy Lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of Hallmark. I don't know.
My parents watch so much weird British.
British?
Yeah, they're all in on Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, yeah, okay.
They're huge with, oh God, not Peaky Blinders, but it sounds sort of like a Netflix British, like it's a very strange phenomenon. My parents are way into right now.
Is Richard Rubenstein into The Blacklist?
No, which is very strange, but his brother, my uncle, is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this British... It's like a British detective TV show.
Can you call up Mama Rubenstein while we're airing?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to put her on speakerphone.
Hi.
Jill.
Yes.
You're on the Solid Verbal right now.
No, I'm not.
You are. What's the name of the British show that you really like, that the sort of detective trial show?
Foyle's War.
Foyle's War?
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. F-O-Y-L-E'F. Foyle is the name of the detective. It's a great World War II series.
And what are the other British shows that you like, other than Downton Abbey and that?
We like when it's with British actors, but it takes place in Scotland. I think it was a Scottish production that we really loved. There were two seasons of called Broadchurch.
Broadchurch. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. All right. That's all. Thank you for helping.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right. So there it is. Broadchurch and Foyle's War. Does anything sound more British than that?
The solid spouse, Kate.
Yeah.
Is into Outlander.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a Scottish feel to things.
Right. Sure. Okay. Blacklist, though. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's a Blacklist threshold that's so real.
Well, email us. Email us if you're listening to this, if you're a Blacklist
fan. Did you watch anything, by the way, if you were in for the blizzard?
Watched a lot of movies, caught Ex Machina.
Ooh, Ex Machina. Yeah.
Ex Machina, however you say it. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Wasn't really a fan of Mad Max, but it was good at what it wanted to be.
Ooh, you got to see that. That was a theater movie. I could see that not being that as good at home.
Watched What If? I think it was called What If with Daniel Radcliffe. That was okay.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that in the theater, Ty.
I saw V for Vendetta for the first time. That was pretty good.
Haven't seen that.
A lot of oldies but goodies, but
yeah,
nothing much you can do when you've got 32 inches of snow.
Oh, man. I saw Sicario. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Saw Spotlight. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And saw about 7 episodes of this year's Top Chef season.
Nice.
It's also excellent.
All right. Well, I think we're all caught up on TV and
that's
movies.
Everything.
And yeah. Saw Brooklyn, the movie Brooklyn.
How was it?
Pretty good.
All right. Did it feel like my life?
A little bit.
As an Irish settler.
An immigrant story coming to New York to work at Vox Media. Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, big thanks again to Reese Davis, who stopped by our booth when we were out at the national championship. Don't forget, you can find us at solidverbal.com or on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on FanCred, or on iTunes at iTunes.com/solidverbal. Big thanks to our sponsor today, Squarespace. Again, you should is the tagline. Verbal is your offer code. You can get 10% off your first purchase. Dan, as you mentioned, we got a bunch of shows in the pipeline. We will keep releasing those shows every Wednesday. Don't forget, you can email us at solidverbal@gmail.com. If you've got any comments or suggestions for people or topics or anything else you'd like to hear on the Solid Verbal over the course of the long, dark days of the off season. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thanks again for tuning into the show. Catch you all in a week. Stay solid.
Peace.